Open your Bible now, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We almost finished the message this morning, but we didn't quite make it to the end. And so we want to wrap up about the last 25% of the message tonight. And I'm glad that you're here. I want to go back and quickly recap what we covered this morning. We were talking about demolishing strongholds. And I reminded you this morning that the Bible says that a stronghold is a spiritual fortification of Satan in the life of an individual to such a degree that Satan can just hit your button or squeeze your trigger or pretty much have his way with you as he chooses. And the tragedy is that many of God's Christians have one or more strongholds in their lives. It might be that your life is absolutely submitted to Christ in every single area, say one. But there's one area that's not surrendered to Jesus, and Satan has developed a stronghold there. Now, a stronghold begins with a thought. So that, first of all, you have this evil thought or this temptation which comes into your mind. And of course, you and I can't control a thought popping into our mind. But a thought which is not checked, which is not rejected, if it's an evil thought, will become a consideration. That is, you take it, you ponder it, you contemplate it, you turn it over in your mind, you consider whether or not you will give in to the temptation. And when the thought becomes a consideration and it's not checked, ultimately the consideration will become an attitude, a wrong, evil attitude. And that attitude, if that's not repented of, will so permeate your thinking that eventually the attitude will express itself in an evil action. And that evil action, if that's not repented of, will continue on in an evil habit, and the evil habit ultimately becomes a stronghold. So that you come to the place where you have become the slave of Satan in this particular area. And so we mentioned some things which strongholds are, like bitterness, rebellion, insecurity, depression, addictions, pride, sexual impurity, fears, deceit, doubt, anxiety, and so forth. It could be that a person is absolutely free of all of those strongholds save one. And yet in that one area, he constantly and consistently finds his life characterized by defeat. And so tonight we want to talk about how to demolish those strongholds. We tried to define them this morning. We tried to say that the purpose of the stronghold, as far as Satan is concerned, is to neutralize your effectiveness and your witness for Christ. And we tried to see how we can discern those strongholds. And now tonight, I want us to finish up the message and talk about how these strongholds may be demolished in the life of a believer. And I want us to go back and read the text one more time. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and we'll begin now with verse 3. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. You notice the military language there. Notice the language of warfare. And I want to remind you that if you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, you are engaged in a titanic spiritual battle. So that when you come to the place that you put your trust in Christ Jesus, the enemy, Satan himself, begins to assault you and attack you so that he might neutralize your effectiveness for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we're engaged in a great battle. It's a great cosmic conflict. It is an invisible war. And surrounding us are evil spirits and good spirits, demons and angels. Now, because we cannot see angels, because we cannot see demons, we have a tendency to think, well, they're not real. We would tend to think the things which are really real are the things we can see and touch and experience with our senses. But the Bible says that which is eternally real is that which is invisible. It's the spirit world. And this material world someday will be consumed by the judgment fire of God. But the real world is the invisible world, the spirit world. So we're not just doing battle with just bad people. We're engaged in a great cosmic conflict with the forces of darkness. And so God surrounds us with his angels who battle in our behalf. But when we think of a stronghold, we need to remember that we're in the midst of a battle. So tonight I want to talk to you about the five weapons which are at the disposal of the believer as he seeks to demolish a stronghold which the enemy would seek to establish in his life. But before I give you these five weapons, let me just give you some preliminary principles which you need to make sure before you go any further. The first thing I would say to you is, if you want victory, if you want to demolish a stronghold, the first thing you need to be sure about is you need to be absolutely certain that you're a Christian. Now, you've got to establish that. Now, there doesn't need to be any question in your mind that you've been born again. If there's some doubt there, settle it. Because if you're not sure you're saved, then Satan really has you where he wants you. And that's basic. That's primary. That's foundational. That's grade one. That's the first step up the ladder. And so, settle that in your own thinking, in your own mind. Now, ask God to show you if you're saved. You know, I gave up several years ago trying to help people know for sure they're saved, to try to convince them that they had Christ. The Spirit, the Bible says in Romans chapter 8 that the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are in fact the children of God. And if you're really saved, ask the Holy Spirit to confirm that to you in your human spirit. Now, the second foundational principle I would give to you before I share these weapons is realize that victory is possible through the Lord. You genuinely can have victory. It's possible through the Lord Jesus Christ. But also remember, it's only possible through Him. Now, when we talk about the weapons of our warfare, basically I want you to see that in a sense, this all Jesus. I mean, Jesus is our victory. And it's not so much a formula. It's not something so much words we say or certain 10 steps to this or 7 steps to that. But victory primarily is found in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I would remind you to go back to Romans 6. We spent a couple of Sundays in Romans 6 talking about how to have victory over sin and how God can deliver us. Let those truths settle in your spirit. But remember that victory is found not in a formula, not in a series of steps, but victory is found in a person. It is found in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He will give us the victory. He will effect or enact victory in our hearts and lives when we yield ourselves absolutely, absolutely, absolutely to His authority and His control. Unless we're willing to do that, unless we're willing to crown the Lord Jesus Christ absolute Lord, then we're never going to have that kind of consistent victory. Now, a third foundational principle I would suggest is seek to identify the stronghold in your life, so that you'll know what it is you're battling. Now remember, if you have a stronghold, it may not be like someone else has. If bitterness is a stronghold in your life, identify that. If a rebellious spirit is a stronghold in your life, identify that. If sexual impurity is a stronghold there, identify that. Know exactly where Satan has established this stronghold in your life so that you know exactly what it is you want God to work in your life. And then a fourth foundational principle I would suggest is simply this. If you want victory, if you want to be delivered from a satanic stronghold, do a thorough job of repentance before you go any further. If you're not willing to lay it aside, if you're not willing to turn from it, if you're not willing by the grace and power of God to leave that lifestyle behind, don't expect God to work in your behalf. Now, the Scripture commands us to repent. And the word repentance literally means a change of mind. It means you think differently. And if you have a changed perspective about the matter, then ultimately you're going to turn and you're going to have a changed lifestyle or a changed action. And so it's very important, if a person wants to be delivered from one of these strongholds in his life, that he do a thorough and complete job of repentance. I mean, just turn your back against sin. And you dethrone sin and you enthrone Christ. Now remember that the Bible says if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us and to purify us from all unrighteousness. So that when we repent, when we confess our sins, when we say to God, God, I confess to you this sin, whether it's the sin of bitterness or whether it's the sin of deceit or whether it's the sin of anger or whatever it is, when we confess our sins, that simply means that we are agreeing with God that it's wrong, that we have failed God, that we have transgressed God's law, that we have offended the holy God of this universe. And we are aligning ourselves with God's position on this matter so that we no longer defend it. We no longer rationalize the sin in our life. We no longer excuse it. We no longer say, well, I couldn't help it. I didn't have enough strength to overcome it. We have come to the place where we agree with God. Yes, it is sin. And yes, by the grace of God, I turn from it and I receive your forgiveness. Now, whether you feel forgiven or not, receive it. You see, our forgiveness, like our salvation, is not contingent upon our feelings. Our forgiveness is contingent upon our faith in the Word of God. And the Scripture clearly promises that if we confess, God will cleanse us. He will purify us. He will remove the sin from us as far as the east is from the west, and He will remember it against us no more. Now, having said all of that, those four simple foundational truths, what are the weapons at our disposal? Now, look back here in 2 Corinthians 10. Look in verse 3. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. Now, what are these weapons that God has given to us through which and by which we may demolish strongholds? Well, I want to give you five. The first one is the Word of God. The first weapon in our arsenal against Satan and the forces of darkness and against the stronghold which has been established by Satan in a believer's life is the Word of God. Now I want you to go to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Now, while we're in Ephesians chapter 6, let's take about a 30-second detour here and look in verse 12. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. And so that's just another reminder that we are engaged in a spiritual battle. But look down in verse 17, Ephesians 6, 17. As Paul lists the armor that a Christian has, he says in verse 17, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, one of the weapons at our disposal is this book, the Word of God. Now, we well know by now that this is not just another book. This is God's book. It's God-breathed from cover to cover. Now, friend, if you have any questions about the integrity and the veracity and the authenticity and the accuracy of the Word of God, if there's any doubt in your mind that this is the very Word of God, you're not going to use it as a weapon in your arsenal. And basically all you're doing is you're simply saying, well, I just refuse to use this weapon, and I just give Satan more control in your life. I mean, I can't imagine a believer who wants to live in victory just laying aside one of his weapons. This is the sword of the Spirit. And like a literal sword, we can use it to wreak havoc in the ranks of the enemy. We use the Word of God against Satan. Let's say you have a stronghold of anxiety. Now, I'm not talking about an occasional temptation to be anxious about something or to be overly concerned or to be worried once in a while. But let's say the stronghold in your life is anxiety, so that you are consumed with it. I mean, you just can't seem to be delivered from it. And you worry about everything. You worry about the economy. You worry about the schools. You worry about nuclear war. You worry about your children. You worry about your grandchildren. You worry about losing your job. I mean, just everything that comes along, you are consumed with anxiety. Now, if a Christian has that kind of a stronghold in his or her heart, how are you going to be effective for Jesus? I mean, if you have a stronghold of anxiety, those people who live with you, those people who work with you, they're going to see that in your life. You won't have any witness for Christ except a negative witness. And so you know it's a negative witness. You know that when the littlest thing happens, it just kicks you into a tailspin and it neutralizes your witness for Christ where you work or where you live. How are you going to deal with it? How are you going to be delivered from that stronghold of anxiety? Well, you use the weapons at your disposal. And we've already said that the Word of God is one of those weapons. Now, what is a good passage of Scripture that we can use from the Word of God to deal with the problem of anxiety? Help me. What's the best one? What's the most... Philippians chapter 4. So let's go there. Philippians chapter 4. And let's just use this as an example. Just turn over a page or two. If anxiety is a stronghold in your life, and you want to use the weapon of the Word of God, then where is a passage that deals with that? Philippians 4, look in verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything. Now, let me just say that the Scripture makes it clear that anxiety is sin. Now, concern is not sin. We ought to be concerned. There's a time and place to be concerned. Christ-like concern, compassion for those things that we ought to have compassion about. But anxiety is a sin. And the Scripture explicitly forbids us to be anxious. The Scripture says, do not be anxious about anything. And so whenever anxiety raises its ugly head, we ought to pop it down with the Word of God. But suppose a stronghold is built up in your life so that you're now consumed with anxiety. Well, how do you deal with it? Well, let's read on. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And so the Scripture says, don't be anxious. Then it says, in place of anxiety, pray. Talk to God. Present your requests to God. And as you pray, pray with thanksgiving. And then he goes on to say in verse 7, the promise is, as you do that, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So let's say anxiety is a stronghold in your life and it raises its ugly head and it's like Satan. He mashes your hot button and all of a sudden before you know it, you're having an anxiety fit. And what do? Well, you just because you have memorized this verse of Scripture, you use it as a weapon against the enemy. And so you just claim Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7 against the enemy. You use it to devastate Satan's attack against you. So that you just remind, you just quote the verse. You just say, now, Lord, you say in your word, don't be anxious about anything, and I'm just going to trust you now so that I won't be anxious about this. I'm going to claim this promise for my life. I'm going to claim for myself the peace of God which transcends all understanding. I claim for myself this peace of God which will guard my heart and my mind in Christ Jesus. I refuse to be anxious. I refuse to be unduly worried about this. I am going to have peace about this. Your word says I can have it. Now that is a weapon at our disposal to overcome the attack of the enemy. Now what's a second weapon? It's the name of Jesus. The name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's power in the name of Jesus. He is our victor. I want you to see this in Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, verses 17, 18, and 19. Luke 10, 17. The 70 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. Now, Jesus had sent these followers out on a mission. They had gone out to minister and proclaim and preach and do all these wonderful things. And they come back and they have their report time like we have on Monday night after evangelism explosion. And they come in all excited and they said, Lord, the demons submit to us in your name. And my friend, there's power in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's read on. Look in verse 18. And Jesus replied, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Satan is a defeated foe. And when Jesus died and rose again, the nail was driven in Satan's coffin. Now he's got a little leeway right now and he's doing all the damage he can do, but the day's coming at the end of the age when Satan's going to be cast into the lake of fire. And we can anticipate that day. And in the meantime, you and I can live in victory if we choose to live in victory because Satan is a defeated foe. And Jesus said here in verse 19, I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. It doesn't matter what the enemy does. We have power and authority over him. Satan must submit to the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, may I just be a little, just to make sure you don't misunderstand here. When you engage in seeking to demolish strongholds, it's not enough to say in the name of God. There are a lot of gods in this world. There's only one true God, but there are a lot of gods in this world. You must identify your God. And you will want to say in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I take authority against this stronghold in my life. So that you use this powerful name, this all-sufficient name, as a weapon in your hands to demolish what Satan is attempting or has done in your life. And you just claim the power of the name of Christ against that stronghold in your life. Now there's a third weapon. Look in Revelation chapter 12. The book of the Revelation, chapter 12. Now the third weapon is the blood of Christ. It is the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. Well, let's go back to verse 10, get the context. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, "Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brothers," that's the enemy, Satan, "who accuses them before our God day and night, has been hurled down. They overcame him," Satan, "by the blood of the Lamb." There is a scarlet thread of blood which weaves its way through the pages of Holy Scripture, going all the way back to Genesis and coming all the way down through both Old and New Testaments to the last book of the Bible, the book of the Revelation. It is only through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that you and I have our sins washed away. And it is through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that we can take authority against Satan, against demons, or against any stronghold that the enemy has built up in our lives in years and days past. So that if we have a particular stronghold, we come against that stronghold, not only in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is all authority and all power, but we also come against that stronghold in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you know Satan's a counterfeiter. He's a liar. He's the father of lies. And everything God wants to do, Satan tries to counterfeit. He's got a counterfeit plan of salvation. He's got a counterfeit church. He's got counterfeit spiritual gifts. Satan just counterfeits it all. Except the blood of Christ. Satan will not counterfeit the blood of Christ. And he knows that it was the precious blood of the Lamb of God shed on Calvary's cross that is responsible for his defeat there at Calvary. Now you and I can appropriate for our very lives that defeat in our lives as we claim this weapon of the blood of Christ. It is a powerful, powerful weapon of war that we can use against the enemy. Now what's the fourth weapon? It is the word of our testimony. The word of our testimony. That is, if you know Christ, you have a testimony. Look in Revelation 12:11, same verse. They overcame him not only by the blood of the Lamb, but by the word of their testimony. How do we overcome Satan? How do we demolish strongholds? By the word of our testimony. In other words, we just learn to have a conversation with Satan. You know, where you say to Satan, "In Jesus' name, by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, because I'm a blood-bought son or daughter of God, because my sins have been cleansed by Christ, because he has justified me by his blood, because I have been given new life, spiritual life, because I've been adopted into his family, because I'm a saved person, because I know the Lord Jesus Christ, because I'm in his family, I say to you, Satan, be gone. I don't have to do anything you tell me to do." Amen. You say, "Well, that sounds like you're praying to the devil. Are you supposed to pray to the devil?" No, but it's not praying to my cat when I tell him to scat. And it's not praying to the devil to give you testimony to the devil. You know, Satan doesn't have any control in the life of a believer unless we give him that control. He can't do anything to you unless you open the door and say, "Come on in." And so if there's a stronghold that's built up in your life and it causes you anguish and grief and you know it ought not to be there and you want to be delivered from that stronghold, I tell you, learn to talk to the enemy. Tell him to be gone. Now folks, we ought never to tell somebody to go to hell except one. He's going. It's in the book. He's going to the lake of fire. He's going to be there for eternity. Let's invite him to leave a little early. He can only hang around you when you make him welcome. If you have a stronghold, it's because you just choose to have one.
It's because you choose to allow it. You can say to Satan, be gone. He has to go. Give him your testimony. You know, I could say, you can't mess with me, devil. Let me tell you what happened back on March 12, 1959. Jesus came into my life. I don't belong to you anymore. I've been sold as a slave to righteousness to Jesus, so you have to be gone. You can't mess with me. And I'm not going to give you permission to. Give him your testimony. Tell him about it. Tell him you belong to Jesus. Tell him you've been born again. Remind him. Now there's a fifth weapon, and then we're done. The fifth weapon is the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. 1 John chapter 4. The indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. Now look in 1 John chapter 4. This is great. Chapter 4, verse 4. Not Gospel of John, 1 John. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them. Them here being the spirit of Antichrist, representative of Satan. Because the Holy Spirit, who is in you, is greater than the one, Satan, who is in the world. You see, you and I have resident within us all the power of the eternal God of this universe. The Holy Spirit lives within. And the Holy Spirit within me is greater than the enemy out there assaulting me. And that's victory. Now there is a battle. There is a warfare. And far too many of God's children have become casualties in the battle. Wounded, bleeding, suffering. Far too many have been taken prisoner of war by Satan. He's got you right where he wants you. If you die, you'd go to heaven. You know that? That you're of absolutely no use to God because you've allowed the enemy to establish this evil spiritual fortification in your life. You can be delivered. That which starts in the mind can be overcome, but only on God's terms. Now, if you've got these wonderful weapons, then doesn't it make sense just to use them? It does to me. And I pray God give us grace to understand not only who Jesus is, but understand who we are in Him. And to take it from the realm of theory and instruction and make it real on Monday and Tuesday and Friday and Saturday and every day of the week. There is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. We have been set free from the law of sin and death. Let's live in the liberty which Jesus provides. Now let's bow together.